Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Believe it's not so. It's Linda, Linda, Linda Pollock. Here she is, everybody's favourite cynic.
Alakazam.
Alakazam. Linda, bloody Pollock. Linda, what have you been up to since last week?
Oh,
no
my God.
Time at all.
Right, I'm having a good old clear out of my wardrobe because I've got too many clothes.
Right, okay.
And when I think about the good stuff I've taken to the charity shop, only for it to be handed over to some older woman who does not know what treasures are waiting for her in those boxes, and they probably got, I don't know, mangled or whatever. So I've decided I'm going to sell online.
Right.
So I've been doing some online selling, and it's by and large brilliant, but I have noticed a tendency, right? I'm putting things up for 20 quid, maximum 25 quid.
Yeah.
Can you take £5 off that, please?
Oh.
It's a virtually new frock. Some of them have got tags on,
yeah.
I'm ashamed to say.
Well, money's tight for people. I'm amazed that people can fit in your clothes because...
Three saggy tits.
I mean, are they a bit big, maybe, some of these blouses for some of these people?
Listen, I don't judge other people's bodies.
No!
You don't know how many tits they've got.
I know, and they're not appearing in a show by Ben Bond Brothers all around the country, are they, from next week?
Anyway, no, the three tits thing isn't true, don't you?
Yeah, sorry about the three tits. I'm going to delete all that. Do you know what? People do love a bargain. How are you for haggling and that sort of thing?
Oh, I can't be asked.
Yeah, I'm a bit sort of English about it. I find it a bit embarrassing.
I like to very carefully work out how much they're asking for something. I'll decide in my head, without speaking out loud, whether I can afford it or not. And if it's too pricey for me, I'll back off.
Yeah.
I do not say, can you do £5 less for cash?
Yeah, I know sometimes that seems a little bit mean, doesn't it?
Oh, my fucking God.
One of my friends was telling me his dad would do it all the time in the 80s.
Are you mad?
No, like in proper shops.
People do.
So in radio rentals, right, that telly over there.
Yes.
You want? Oh, they were expensive in the 80s,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes.
I can do you two knicker.
Do you two knicker for that? And
all
if
that
not,
shit, yeah.
Put the willy in the bin.
Put the willy in the bin, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I wouldn't have the front to
hold
do
on.
It.
Hold on, let me do that again. I like this rhyme.
It's really, really long and thin. Put the willy in the bin.
It's really, really long and thin. As Ruth tells us, he put the willy in the bin. The bargain bin! Now, people do like a bargain.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you about this. An actor I met called Simon Snayshaw, right?
Right.
And he told me something. This is so British that British people don't really know how to haggle. And he was at a car boot sale. And he said he saw a bloke go up to someone who presumably just started doing this car boot stuff. And he wanted, you know, he had some CDs or DVDs or something down there in a little pile, and this young man said to the slightly older man, how much for the DVDs? He said 25 quid, and he went, oh no, forget it, not enough. He said, right, how much are you offering? And he went, well, I don't know, 20 quid. He went, no. He said, all right, 20 quid, all right, leave it, mate. And the bloke who was selling the stuff had the old one said, yeah, is it because you're fat?
Whoa!
And it's a bit like, don't need to get personal about it. Yeah. Is it because you're fat that you won't pay 25 quid? People are odd like that, aren't they?
Yeah. Also, we must have been nursing that thought from the start of the conversation. What the hell?
Yes, I suppose so. Horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, look, I really wish you'd been here, Linda. I need you back here and doing all my accounts. I know you...
Hell to the no!
Well, you had not done them last time. The one and only Ruth Abbott had been doing my account. It was nearly time to pay tax.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I got this phone call from the Inland Revenue this week.
Is that Mr. Clinton Baptiste?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah,
yes. Hello there. This is Jane Carter here. I'm calling you from the Inland Revenue.
Sorry, you're calling from the Inland Revenue?
Yes, from HMRC. We're just doing some spot checks on sole trader accounts like yours. And just going through the accounts that you submitted, I think it's April the 10th they came through to us. We've got some serious anomalies in the accounts, and I just need to check a few things with you because I think there's been... there's a few glaring errors, to be honest with you. Can I just double check with you? Did you actually do your profit and loss figures yourself?
Well, I signed for them. I have a lady who does my figures for me. She's got a bookkeeping.
You have an accountant?
Well, she's more a sort of... Well, yeah, sort of accountant. She does a little bit of, figures and stuff for me, paperwork. Why is it she's messing me up,
you think? Well, just clearly looking at the figures that you've stated here, your income against expenditure was £2,175,000. Unless you've had a massive leap in income over the last year, this clearly isn't correct, is it?
No, it should be 2,175.
Right, yeah, so we've got a typo region. There. Honest, none of the income against expenditure really makes any sense whatsoever. I've got a few notes here that I'd like to go through with you in detail.
I'm not paying tax on 2 million, whatever it was, 175,000.
You are in danger of breach of our conduct here, so you could be facing a fine unless we can get this rectified pretty swiftly.
Right, look, I tell you what, is it possible to speak a little bit later? I might get the lady to speak on Zoom, and she can just just clear this up a little bit. I'm not paying tax on that.
Well, we can have a meeting with your accountant or your book.
She's not really an accountant, she's a bloody idiot.
I might advise you to actually to find yourself an accountant, because a lot of our self-employed sole traders... Yeah. We can get into a bit of a mess and clear you in quite a pickle here,
I'll say,
Mr. Baptiste.
Yeah. It is quite a pickle. Thank you. Well, look, I tell you what, I'm going to get this bookkeeping lady on Zoom with you a bit later. Is that all right? It's 2 o'clock,
all
right?
We can sort something out like that. Yes, that's fine. We can sort out a meeting. 2 o'clock. If you could be both
2 o'clock,
on the phone
if that together, suits.
That would be fine.
Oh, we will be. Don't worry. All right, thank you. We'll be on Zoom at 2 o'clock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Carter. Right, very keen to sort this out. Thank you. Jesus Christ. So, I'm hoping that you might be able to do some of my figures for me.
Flipping heck, Clinton. Well, you're cutting it a bit fine, aren't you?
Well, I'm not... employing you for your belief in the supernatural.
Obviously.
You haven't made a cup of tea once since you've been here.
Well, I keep getting accused of farting and eating all the biscuits.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Do you mind? Take a break's fate and fortune have come up trumps. Talking of trumps, they're doing a competition where you write a short ghost story.
God.
You don't win anything. You just win your thing in print. It's a cheap way of getting print.
Well, I was going to say, I think that the quality of those stories and the bullshittery in those stories has gone through the roof since they've been offering financial incentives. So if this is just for the bragging rights, we might get some actual stories.
Well, this is not bad. It's a 100-word story. You just have to do it, which we're going to try in a minute, all right? Because I want people to write it. They won't write in with the bloody problems. So I want them to write it, a 100-word story. Can we have the spooky music on as you read this one? Which is a little bit disappointing, I think. Here we go, Linda.
Eye-opening experience. Molly had always been sceptical about visiting a spiritualist church, yet here she was, having eye-to-eye contact with a medium. He was saying to her, in a determined manner, she's filling out here, isn't she? There's 100 words.
Determined
really,
man. Yeah.
20 words.
Oh, we've got 90 in a determined manner. We're only up to 96.
Eye-to-eye contact.
In a determined manner.
That her husband's friend Peter had died tragically in his own white car.
Oh, you know why.
She put the willy in the bin.
Go on.
Feeling smug, she told him Peter's car was blue. At that point, she decided to leave. Later that night, Molly began to tell her husband about the experience. As his face paled, he revealed that the week before he died, Peter had bought a brand new white car.
Yeah, I'm not certain about that one.
What a load of shit.
That was terrible. Yeah, I mean, the person has got that in print, but, you know, quite rightfully earned no money, won no money. This one is quite good. Spooky music again, please. I'm going to read this out. Murder Most Messy.
Oh, God.
Pink marigolds on Prim, Mrs. Cavendish, carefully knelt. Yeah, they've added Prim, marigolds. Don't need that.
I'm going to say something now, and it's probably actionable.
All right, turn the thing off. Just a second.
The writers at this magazine are writing these stories themselves.
This is from Joe Chivers in Bristol.
Is it bollocks? They've given us no age, so we can't chase her up.
Good point. Murder Most Messy. Pink marigolds on. Music, please. Prim Mrs. Cavendish carefully knelt on the Persian rug.
Too many describing words.
Adjectives. A washing up bowl full of sods was placed beside her. Sods. First, she tried salt. She's trying to clean the bloody carpet. Then dabbing the area with a tea towel. Next, she poured half a glass of Sauvignon on the stubborn crimson mark. It was only afterwards she'd remembered that was for removing red wine. Not a blood stain like this. It was going to require some real elbow grease. She tutted as she plunged a sponge into the water. And then there's the body to deal with. Not bad! Joe Chivers in Bristol. Just a second! One.
That is not a spooky story.
All right, listen, we're just going to put on a bit of what I call holding music now while we quickly write a 100-word ghost story for you to have a listen to, and you're going to follow suit, all right? Right, let's do it now. Stories are now ready. Can we go with you first, please, Linda?
All right, this is a disturbing one, so please, if you are of a shaky disposition...
A shaky disposition.
Shake off.
That is the technical term. Can you put on the spooky music?
Yeah, you're going to need it for this one. Ruth smiled as she pulled up her knee socks. Tonight would be the night she finally made a move on her theatrical yet manly boss.
Yeah.
A slick of Vaseline on her lips and she was ready to go.
What?
But then she woke up and realised it had all been a crazy dream and she was still unable to meet any of these people because she had been slapped with a massive restraining order and the threat of a karate chop to the windpipe. Spooky.
Very poor effort. Very poor effort.
Well, it's better than the ones in flipping chat, fame and fortune.
All right, OK, get this. That sounded like a problem, not so much a spooky
story.
It's a
problem for you, mate.
I'm calling this... Put the spooky music on, please. Right. I'm calling this The Hobbyist. Let's call this fella Clint. Often had the need to use hobbycraft on the retail park. He'd go there to buy glue for his lavish costumes. Needle and thread was often needed to keep his stage designs fresh. He'd ask the sullen and frankly verbose young lady who patrolled the outlet where things were as they inexplicably kept moving the items around. Over there, she'd say with a casual nod, not something that any customer would expect from staff, particularly when Clint had spent so much in their retail outlet. Imagine his horror when he arrived one day and discovered that she'd been murdered round near the fancy coloured paper bit. What a shame, said Clint. Secretly delighted. The end.
Spooky.
Very, very spooky. And what do the judges think? Oh, thank you.
What a crepe story.
What a crepe story. Oh, just a second. So if you think you can do better with a chance to... You won't win anything with a chance to hear... Your story read out on this show,
yes,
please
sensitively.
Sensitively, please send a 100-word story to Clinton at clintonbaptiste.com. Com. Well, here is someone who really did have a spooky story for me. Last week when I was doing our live show, Clint Baptiste versus Ramon, at the Glee in Nottingham. Have a listen to this fella. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm at the Glee Comedy Club in Nottingham. And I asked around because it's a very, it's quite a spooky place here because it's old warehouse buildings. And I felt that I was picking up with my extrasensory paranormal antennae that there was something going on here. And I met this young chap, Lewin, his name is. He's a student. He works in. What do you do here, son?
I work on the floor. So I'm taking drinks out and taking food out.
Tell me, you are a believer in the supernatural, am I correct?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
You came into my dressing room just now and disturbed me. Don't worry, I can wipe all that off. That's fine. That's just something I do before the show. And you rather startled me, to be honest. Lewin, you have a number of stories, and there's one particular one that you wanted to tell us. Would you please regale the listeners? In the studio, please, Linda, put on the spooky music.
Yeah, so one time I went to Alton Towers with scouts for a scout camp. So I was camping in the gardens one night.
Alton Towers, the amusement park.
Yeah, the theme park.
Theme park.
Yeah. So one night, everyone was going for the evening meal. It was like a midnight meal.
Yeah.
And it was dark, and I remember looking up to the tower through the trees, and I saw a candlelight flickering.
What
like,
tower? Is there a tower at Alton Towers?
It's like a bell tower kind of thing, like a okay. really small. I can't really describe it. It's got a small, skinny tower.
Right.
And in the opening at the top, there was just like a candlelight flickering, and I thought that's really strange.
Yeah.
Because
it's a
theme park.
Electric-based theme park. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the only light that should be coming from there is what's attached to the theme park ride, because there's a theme park ride in that building.
Yes.
And I turned to my scout leader and I said to him...
What was he in your sleeping bag with you at the time or something?
we were walking to get our
evening
meal.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. That was just flippant and rude of me. Go on.
So I said to him, why is there a candlelight up there? Like, that's really strange. And he said... Yeah, how would one even get up there to light it for starters? Even if it, you know, like that, it always just came to me as really eerie.
Yes, yes.
And then that night I couldn't sleep because I had a blocked nerve.
Kayla, up your bum. Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Carry on, Lewin. Sorry.
So I just felt really like, you know, when you just feel uncomfortable for no apparent reason. I started feeling this really like overwhelming sense of anxiety.
Yes.
And like negative emotions. And then when I went home from the scout camp, I googled it, and it turns out that Alton Towers is one of the most haunted places in the UK.
Yes.
It was even featured on Most Haunted.
Right. Okay. Lewin, tell me this. So was it like Venture Scouts or something like that?
It was Explorer Scouts, yeah. This was like shortly before I quit, before I outgrew it. So
right.
I had to leave.
Okay. My brother was in the Venture Scouts and all that, and I have lovely memories of going to Scouts. This is digressing a little bit. We used to have an Arcala at my Scouts, and I remember, I won't say his name, Chris something. He was a sixer. I think we were in the Cubs at the time. And, you know, the braiding of the tent, sometimes late at night, couldn't be bothered to go out and do a wee. So he stuck his winkle out through the braiding of the tent. And our Kayla was wandering around, saw this little willy poke, and just popped it back in again, which I always thought was a little bit odd. Oh, what's that doing there? Pop that back in again. Disgusting, isn't it? I'm not saying, Lewin, that anything happened like that with your leader. I just want to say that it is a spooky place, and it's a very philosophical place. Any of those, you know, venture theme park places. As the Dalai Lama once said, life is a roller coaster. Or it might have been Ronan Keating, one of them. But he said, make sure you're not in one of those really shit roller coasters that hangs upside down at Alton Towers and, you know, make you look like a dick on the news. What else happened there? I mean, it doesn't seem like a very fact-finding tour to go to Alton Towers.
Well, it was mainly the stillness of the night. Like, there was about there was like hundreds and hundreds of other scouts sleeping there.
Yeah.
But like it was so eerily quiet, and it just filled me with this massive sense of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt a feeling like that since. Funnily enough, I went to the Haunted Museum in Nottingham.
But there's more. Go on. Here we go.
So I went there recently at the end of the last academic year before my flatmates moved home. Yes. And we went through there, and all of us just felt like the longer we were in there, like we started feeling a massive sense of anxiety.
Yes.
And like we started feeling even physically ill from like being there, like just like being like really like exhausted, as if we'd been fighting off a cold for two weeks.
I know.
We just felt really uncomfortable there after a while. We didn't feel that way when we first went in. The first 20 minutes we were in there, we were fine.
You might have the gift, my friend. You might well have the gift.
The gift?
The gift of summoning the supernatural. If you're very, very sensitive to that sort of thing, like me, you might actually encourage spirit world to come close to you. Do you ever feel like that, that you do have a gift of some kind?
I think I might have, because... My mum's a believer too, and she goes to spirit mediums as well.
Right, okay.
And we've been to a few meetings now, and I've been to one with her.
Yeah.
And it seemed like she got more attention from the spirits when I was there.
Yeah.
She got more communication from her deceased father.
That is possible. You're talking about this feeling of unease. I feel like that very much tonight. My bowels have gone heavy. I'm feeling slightly sick. I've got to go downstairs. And there's a bunch of comedy crowd here at the Glee Club. Why we're playing a comedy crowd, I do not know. Are they quite friendly here?
Yeah. They're quite friendly, yeah. Oh, especially when they've had a few drinks.
He's got a funny look on his face like they're not at all friendly. Right, Lewin, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
And I can tell you now that Spirit is here and saying you're going to have a good evening on the floor, clearing up people's booze and old plates of shitty burgers that they do here. All right, Lewin, anything else to add?
Not really. I think I'm good. I think I've said everything.
He said everything he wants to say. Fading now, Spirit, fading now. Hello, Mrs. Carter. Thank you for, agreeing to this Zoom meeting.
Yes, that's okay. So do we have your accountant or your bookkeeper here on the line as well?
Can you put the camera on, please, Ruth? There you are.
Hello.
Oh, yes.
Right, this is...
good afternoon.
This is Ruth Abbott. She's...
Hello, Ruth. I'm Jane Carter from the HMRC. Okay. I just needed to go through a couple of figures that have come through for Mr. Baptiste's books. I think I said earlier in our conversation, Mr. Baptiste, that your income and expenditure didn't really add up. And we had an overall income of £2,175,000, which is...
That's ridiculous.
..an incorrect figure that's been entered into
the book. Just one second. Ruth, can you face towards the camera?
He's called Clinton, not Mr. Baptiste.
All right, okay. Miss Carter, please.
I just want to quote a few of the incomes, well, actually the expenses that have come through, which they're not actually qualifying expenses, Miss Abbott. So we have, I'll just read through the note. I can't actually read the writing very well, but I think it says £1,000 precisely on fancy pants. And there's an asterisk down at the bottom of the tax return. It says, for Linda Pollock.
Yeah.
Then we've got, I think, £1 million on hairspray because Clinton's got stupid hair. I mean,
he has got stupid hair.
I mean, this is clearly utter nonsense, to be frank. We have £4,000 on skincare for Linda per week.
Yes.
And, there's not even any proper dates added here, just sort of random sentences. We've got £5,000 on a new sofa big enough for, I think it says, Linda's bottom.
Yeah,
So, I mean, clearly these are not correct. This is not a correct way of accounting.
Jesus Christ.
There's some more on there as well, because Linda's got such a big bum that we have to get lots more toilet paper
And God.
Nappies for Clinton has nappies as well.
Sorry, I mean, this isn't actually...
I don't, just for the record, I don't have nappies, Mrs. Carter.
Well, I mean, I don't... So, do you find I don't care whether you wear nappies or not? They wouldn't actually be a claimable expense, regardless, because that's a medical issue. So that would there's nothing to do with your career.
Forget the nappies. Forget the nappies. Just forget the nappies. That's a stupid thing to say, Ruth.
Yeah, so I just would actually just like to know about your actual qualifications, Ms. Abbott, because it's possible that you... I think we're going to have to resubmit all the accounts and there will be a fine pending.
Well, how big's the bloody fine? Ruth, I just... Sorry, just a second. Sorry, Mrs. Carter. The thing is, Ruth gave me the impression she could do a bit of bookkeeping. She's not a qualified accountant, but I just asked her to tot up a few expenses for the tax return. Yeah, I have stupidly signed it. Yeah, I don't know whether you've added things after I signed it, Ruth, have you?
The thing is actually, Mr. Clinton, that you are responsible for this ultimately.
Yes, I know.
So you will be liable rather than Ms. Abbott.
Clinton, will you tell this lady that a ghost done it? A ghost done the accounts.
What do you mean?
Sorry?
A ghost done the accounts. Wasn't me.
Sorry, there's a third party involved.
I saw a ghost. A ghost done it. Ghost done it wrong.
A ghost hasn't done the accounts, has it? A ghost has not filed.
Utter nonsense. Mr. Clinton, I'm afraid that we will be sending through it, unless you can get this rectified immediately. Yeah.
It was Henry VIII.
There will be a fine...
Can we turn her off? Henry VIII didn't do the accounts.
Yeah, Ms. Abbott, are you offering your services to any other sole traders at the moment?
No, she is not.
Strongly recommend that you actually do not put yourself forward for this kind of work, because this actually could potentially lead to a criminal offence for Mr. Clinton.
Yeah, that's right.
This
thank
potentially
you very
we're
much,
going
Ruth.
Towards fraudulent accounting at this point.
Yeah, thank you, Ruth. And can you bring Henry the fucking Eighth into court with you if you do have to face a court of law for fraudulent accounts?
Well, actually, it will be Ruth. You that will be facing the court of
thanks
law,
a lot.
Mr. Clinton.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
So I'm sorry about that, you're going to have to rectify the accounts immediately, but in any case, there will be a fine coming through to you. I'm sorry about that.
Thanks, Ruth. I will be passing that off to you and Henry VIII, all right, Ruth? So if one of you could pay it, please, with some gold coins.
Ghost.
Yeah, okay.
I saw the ghost.
Well, reluctantly, I'm afraid to tell you that Take a Break, Fate and Fortune have once again been jumping the shark. And you'll remember, we discussed it before, jumping the shark is from this programme, Happy Days.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums.
Jumping the shark refers to the practice of running out of ideas in a long-running TV show. In this case, I'm using this analogy, it would be Fate and Fortune magazine. And so chucking everything, including the kitchen sink, at something in the vain hope that it'll be entertaining. Nothing subtle about it. And I think what happened was, in Happy Days, things reached an absolute peak of kind of terrible disaster planning when Fonzie leapt over a shark on some skis. And since then, it's become known in television land as jumping the shark. Basically, just going to the nth degree to try and make something work, however unconvincing. All right? And that's what happened this week in Fate and Fortune magazine.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Help us from heaven. This is a £300 prize winner from Fate and Fortune.
Whoa, 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 £300?
Yeah, £300 if you sent this in. And I can't help thinking that this woman, Wendy McCallum, 54, has been doing anything to try and win the £300, including exaggerating enormously. Spooky music, please!
Sitting in the car waiting for my daughter Alison to finish a maths lesson with her tutor, pain suddenly ripped through my tummy.
Oh, no, sorry, I'm taking the piss. Get on.
I hate it when grown-ups use the word tummy.
Tummy, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, do you know what I don't like? Sorry, just stop the music for a second.
Do you call his willy a his wee-wee or something? What do you call it?
His winky. ooh, but your wink... Oh, I'll tell you a story about it later. I was going to tell you something. What did I hear last night that I hated? Oh, God, what was it? We were watching telly last night. His forever home.
Oh, God!
It's, you know, was it like a doggy or something? He's going to be at his forever home. Disgusting. Just, I don't want to hear that. Speak properly.
Also, your forever home. Hubby.
Me hubby. Hubby. Really, do you not like
I
that?
I think hubby is bloody awful.
Disgusting. Right, continue, please.
Anyway, she had a tummy ache. I must have food poisoning, I groaned. After her class, I managed to drive us home and stumbled upstairs to bed. But soon I was rolling around on the mattress, clutching my stomach in agony. Agony?
Seen a ghost up my fanny.
Could have been that, to be fair. Could have been.
I'm calling an ambulance, Alison, then 15, insisted.
Just then, three spirits showed themselves to me. One was my spirit guide, Thunderstrikes. What are you laughing at? I've got a bloody native Greenlandic...
We're just making fart jokes.
Right. Thunderstrikes. Oh, yeah. Thunderstrikes. A Native American holding his staff... His long hair braided down his back. With him was my beautiful, glowing guardian angel, Emily, who had blonde hair. So that's two of them turning up. And there's another
gets,
one.
She only gets the description of, just blonde.
Just blonde. And then finally, there was my beloved gran, Elizabeth, who'd passed away when I was 14. So three of them turned up, three spirit guides.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Wednesday, happy day.
This must be a heavy-duty one. Yeah. Don't worry, love, Gran said, gently peering at me through her blue-rimmed glasses perched on her nose. Your appendix is going to burst and you're going to get sepsis, but everything will be OK.
Oh, that'd be a comfort, wouldn't it? Someone coming back from the dead to tell you that, but go on.
In hospital, medics began carrying out tests. Tell him you need a scan, Wendy, Gran said firmly. She was never wrong, so I asked the doctors. The scan revealed my appendix was inflamed. I was wheeled to theatre to have it removed. As I drifted off under the anaesthetic, I was surrounded by white light. I could feel Gran's hand holding mine.
You are a very sexy man.
She didn't say good, was it?
She said you're going to be fine. The surgery took several hours. Your appendix had burst, so it was a tricky operation.
There you are.
Oh, good old Dr. Gran. Without Gran's insistence, I had a scan. Doctors wouldn't have known how seriously ill I was. I had no doubt she saved my life.
Thanks, Gran, I whispered. As Gran had been right about my appendix bursting, I knew her premonition I was going to get sepsis was going to prove correct too. All I could do was cling to her words that I was going to be okay.
So she didn't mention it?
What?
She didn't mention it to the medical staff or anything. She just sort of went, oh, I'll just wait for the sepsis to kick in. It'll be fine.
You'll find out. Sure enough, a couple of days later, I became feverish, started shaking and vomiting. It could only be one thing. As I was lying hooked up to a drip of antibiotics, a nurse came into my room to take my temperature. It's too high, she said, looking worried. I'll come back shortly and take it again. The second she closed the door behind her, a spirit with grey hair and a moustache appeared. Bloody hell, who was that? Windsor Davis. From his white coat, I knew he was a doctor. This is what I mean. Jump in the shower. That's five spirits who've come so far. Sunday, Monday,
happy days. We have to get the poison out, Wendy. What's he going to do, suck it out? He told me gravely. Then the spirit of a nurse, number six, ding, in an old-fashioned uniform, laid her hand on my forehead. Sunday, Monday, happy days. And another spirit materialised with the bare-chested shaman. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Long black hair, plaited leaves tied round one of his arms. Don't believe them, they'll get you flipping kissing a cat's hole or something.
Sounds lovely.
Would you like to spank my bottom one day?
She did not say to him, actually.
The spirit of the doctor raised a sharp metal instrument. When he pressed it to my stomach, I could feel it vibrating. Mm. Oh, I've got one of them.
As he worked, the shaman danced around the room, chanting, racist, whilst using a leaf to flick liquid from a bowl. When the doctor had... That's what they do! What do you know about it? When the doctor had finished, the shaman laid some large green leaves on my tummy.
Tummy!
Then the spirit and the leaves faded away. The nurse returned and took my temperature. It's back to normal, she gasped. I've only been gone a few minutes. I haven't got a clue how that happened, but I had... The team of spirits had cured me. I mean, I don't even use the NHS recently. They can do with this bloody lot. A week later, I was discharged. None of us can believe how quickly you got better. A nurse smiled.
At my home near Camberley, Surrey, I was soon back to work as a psychic medium and spiritual artist. Aha!
Yeah, well, that's what she is. What's wrong with that?
That's why she's peddling this bollocks.
Well, you're not peddling it. It's real. Go on.
But 2.5 years later, in October 2021, I'd just finished a reading when a terrible pain shuddered through my back and right side. Ooh. At hospital, I was diagnosed with gallstones and given pain relief through a drip, but as soon as the drug started going into my arm, I felt a strange burning sensation.
I can feel the spirit in my arm.
Gran appeared by my side. You need to get that out of your system now, she told me. What does she know about it? Knowing she was right again, I called to a nurse. I think I might be allergic to painkillers, I croaked. Stop the music for a second.
Yeah.
I know this is a bit mean of me, but it sounds like one of these people who wants to tell you all about their medical problems.
Exactly.
It's just an excuse. Oh, I had this going on. You should have seen this. And the doctor said he'd never seen anything like it.
I was right next to death's door.
Oh, next door. Anyway, yeah, it's a bit mean of me, isn't it? It was such a severe reaction that within minutes my throat began to close and my heart rate shot through the roof. I was rushed to an emergency resuscitation room. Don't panic and slow your breathing. Otherwise, you're going to have a heart attack, Gran's voice warned.
As I tried to meditate, I rose above my body, looking down at staff battling to save me. Next thing I knew, I was back on the bed. I could hear snatches of conversation and nurses saying my heart rate was going back down. I had no doubt Gran had saved my life for a second time.
But not long afterwards, complications meant I developed severe jaundice, then pancreatitis, sepsis. Oh, yeah. Well done, love.
She'll have it all if it's free.
She'll have it all, yeah. Sepsis, oedema, and pneumonia. I was
oedema. Chuckedemas.
She had chuckedemas and pliers.
Oedema just means swelling.
Oh, oedema. Sorry, I thought it said oedema. My eyesight is terrible. She thinks she's got it bad. I can't fucking see anything. I was moved to intensive care where my condition deteriorated. Oh, my God. Talk about jumping the shark. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. One of my lungs filled up with fluid. My organs began to shut down. My body swelled to twice its normal size. I think I've got that. I left my body and floated towards the bright... Like, this is getting ridiculous.
Is she in hospital or Willy Wonka's?
I instinctively knew the spirit world lay just beyond it. I had to choose whether to live or die. But Alison needed me. She's not ready to live with... Sorry, this is getting serious now. She's not ready to live without me. I can't leave her, I repeated. Suddenly, with a jolt... There's more ghosts. Suddenly, with a jolt, I was back in my body. Then Gran appeared and took my hand. Calm washed over me. And Gran wasn't the only spirit there. Bloody, there's a whole football team of them.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. God, time and place. It's bad enough when you're in hospital and they bring a team of young medics in and mind all these dead people.
I know, it's so bloody crowded. I don't know if you've been into hospital recently. You can't accommodate all these bloody people as well. Go on.
Where am I?
Over the next few days.
Over the next few days, as I laid hooked up to machines and monitors in agony and struggling to breathe, the room teemed with phantoms, constantly coming and going. As well as numerous presences I didn't recognise, there were family members going back generations, along with Emily and other angels. And all the same, and all the time, faithful Thunderstrike stood guard next to my bed. I knew they were bringing me healing energy, but when a magnificent black horse with a flowing mane appeared...
Oh, fuck
oh Lloyd's
off.
Bank, was it?
This is too much. Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. This is gilding the lily, this is.
And looked at me with soft brown eyes, I panicked. I knew black animals and birds were thought by some to foretell death.
OK, go on.
Does it mean I'm going to die? I fretted. Somehow I managed to reach for my phone and looked up the spiritual meaning of black horses. Yeah, Google it.
Get to Google. Shaman handing over the phone, the iPhone. To.
When I read they bring strength during difficult times, my body sagged in relief.
Oh, hold on.
Three saggy tits.
I placed healing crystals like rose quartz, clear quartz, and shungite.
Oh my fucking God.
Not shungite, please.
Around my bed. I meditated, visualising my body healed and healthy. And I listened to audio tracks of sound healing frequencies on YouTube. The healing power of sound amazed me, and I vowed when I recovered I would train as a sound therapist. Have you noticed in this, right? Every time the NHS gets involved, she goes septic and swells up.
Yeah.
When she relies on Google and asking Jeeves and the spirits, everything's all right.
For someone who's that close to death, she cannot leave her iPhone alone. I'm the same. I could be lying there in a plane crash. I'd still be reaching to see what if anyone's liked any of my comments on Facebook.
No, Clinton, that's you can't plug your phone in there. That's your life support. Oh, it's too late.
I need to check someone answered me on Twitter. Please.
I've only got 2%.
Although a nurse had told me I was expected to be in intensive care for 6 weeks, I was back on an ordinary ward in just over two.
Magic.
Hold on. Back home, Thunderstrikes appeared by my bed.
I am so glad you chose to stay, he told me.
A doctor at the hospital has since told me I nearly died. Oh, God.
Flipping. Where's Pride of Britain in all this?
come on, love. And staff didn't expect me to make it. I believe I was as close to the spirit world as you can get. Well, you're pretty close, and they all turned up in that little room as you can without passing over. Although it will be a long road, I'm recovering slowly.
Oh, God, I bet she keeps everyone abreast of her progress.
And I've been left with breathing problems, exhaustion and pain in my joints and muscles. But by rights, I shouldn't even be here. I'm still alive because my wonderful gran and all my other healers, both on earth and in heaven, for that... I shall be eternally grateful to Spirit.
What, not the NHS?
No, poor old NHS, why don't you give them some credibility?
And the medicine you had.
Bloody hell.
Dickhead.
No, not dickhead. I'd fall short. I'm going to stop short of calling her a dickhead. Time now for your Skype messages.
New message.
Hiya, Clinton. It's me again. Can you have a word with Tarawak? He is doing my head in. Oh, he won't leave me alone. I'm not interested. Keeps coming round, trying to tell me stories about the bloody Arctic tundra. I couldn't care less. Last night, I caught him going through my bins.
Hi, Clinton. It's Kevin from County Durham. Would you believe I've taught my dog how to say Clinton? Just have a listen.
Come on, Fido. Who's your favourite psychic?
You like it?
Well, still nothing from Paul and Joe, who remember the recording of their deceased mother.
Are you sure that Paul and Joe weren't from the other side?
But possibly. They could have been from the other side of Blackpool by the sound of them. They weren't Lytham St. Anne's. Please, if you're out there, Paul, if you're listening, Paul, please, I did give you the number, the email address.
He's probably trying to peddle it to Chat Fate's Fortune. You might get 300 quid.
Can we go to your problems now, please? Linda has received, for the first time... An actual proper problem from David Parker, and he's put it Linda's love advice.
Oh, good.
You.
Namaste, Linda, Clinton, maybe Ruth, definitely not.
Not Ruth. Namaste. Very funny. Right.
Me and my husband have been together for 12 years and we want some ideas to spice up our life. Any advice would be appreciated. David and Jimmy. And they said, sent from my third eye.
Very, very funny. Go on, what advice would you have for someone who's been in a relationship for 12 years and need it spicing up, please?
Listen, whether it's 12 years or 12 weeks, always pays to keep things moving.
That's right. What does that mean?
Just don't rest on your laurels or his.
Please just keep, you know, be nice to each other. Just say nice things to each other. That sort of thing.
Maybe take him out to a show. I don't know. Maybe by a renowned psychic medium with blonde hair.
You can
take him out, make him laugh. Laughter is not only the best medicine, unless it's asthma, then you definitely need an inhaler.
Yeah.
Laughter is also very sexy.
Very, very sexy. And failing that, just...
Is that your Willie?
Every now and then.
Oh, definitely that as
definitely
well.
Definitely that. David and Jimmy, well, to be fair, they haven't given us a lot to go on. Really.
Which might be their problem.
Yeah. So, David and Jimmy, good luck to you. I hope that works out. Now, talking of problems, I do have a few problems with take a breaks, fate and fortune. The usual.
Welcome over to my side.
Okay, let's have a little bit of spooky music. Well, caring music, okay. Maybe. What does the future hold? This is fate and fortune and all their panel of experts.
My 17-year-old daughter, Nat, and I have always been close. That is, until she met her first proper boyfriend, Guy, 6 months ago.
Right.
He's 22, and she's completely under his spell.
It does happen.
Now she's saying she's not going to sixth form college. Instead, she's going to move into his flat share and get a job in the kitchen of the pub where he works.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Guy
that's
seems
what I'm
okay.
Thinking. Oh, God, sounds like a nightmare. Go on.
Guy seems okay, and I don't want to... He's okay, though. She's 17.
Who knows?
And I don't want to control her life, but I feel that she's making some really unwise decisions. What does her future hold?
Sandy, 40, from Bristol. Now, can I just say that? I just want to say this. This is the most brutal answer. This is the answer. And I think this is from Dean... What's his name? Dean Michael Smith. What's his name?
Dean
Fox
Smith.
Dean Fox James. This is your daughter's first real love, and her feelings for this man are deep and strong. You don't want to hear that. I feel she will leave your home, move in with him, and start working at the pub. Oh, fucking brilliant. I know this isn't what you want to hear, but interfering will make your daughter pull further away. This relationship will eventually end in tears. Nice. And that is when you need to be there to support your girl. For the time being, you must accept they're together and allow your daughter to have these new life experiences. Nat has to fly the nest in order to come back. Is that correct?
No.
No.
17 and 22.
It's quite
no.
A big... No, definitely no. Not 17. She's not even legally an adult.
What's the matter with this lad that makes him go for basically a child?
Yes, underage.
No.
I think that's no good. I think that's terrible advice. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, let her go and work at the pub. Give up everything. Go off with this... I'm not going to call him a dirty old man in case I get sued, but a bloke of 22.
But girls his own age are obviously passing him up and there'll be a reason for that. Defective.
Definitely.
I feel like what you need to do is... assassinate his character.
Okay, well, look, just...
And say, where's he going to be in 10 years' time? Still there.
The problem is she's not necessarily going to listen.
All right, lock her in a bedroom.
I mean, I have to say, if you're the sort of person who has to write in to take a break fate and fortune for advice, then maybe you're not in a position to look after
It does feel brain. Slightly limp going, he's quite nice and this is what she plans to do. Where are you in this, Mum?
No, terrible.
It's time to step up, right? She's got plenty of friends. She only gets one mum. You've got to lay it on the line for
her. I think so. And I would say about her abilities as a mother. Oh, dear.
I've got
sorry
a great
about
idea.
That. Go on.
Humour her. All right, yeah, you want to go into catering? Okay, you can start by cooking all the meals round here, see if you like that.
Yeah, how about that?
Call it training, ready for the pub. Here's some oven chips, crack on, love.
Yeah, that's right.
She
and
won't
not,
like it.
Not the sort of advice, I mean, the sort of advice that they're offering, really. Terrible. Well, look, we've reached the end of another exciting delve into the paranormal. Linda, what are you going to be up to? Over the next week. But I'll see you next week.
Okay, over the next week I'm planning to...
job interview?
Not quite yet.
Okay,
I've entered some application forms.
Very good.
Let's see. I'm going to be thinking about that. Here's the thing, Clinton. I try to... I don't go for things I can't imagine myself doing. I try not to give in to that fantasy too much, to try and avoid disappointment. What would you say spiritually is a way I can handle that?
Do you mean, do you look on a glass half full or glass half
do
empty?
Do I need to ask the universe for it? Do I need to visualise it and give in to that fantasy?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Or do I need to protect myself by going, probably won't get it?
No, I think you can do a little bit of both. Just to be serious, I think you do have to think positively.
Yes.
Because apart from anything, you'll be giving off negative vibes if you go in there.
And I never do that.
No. Oh, bloody hell. No, I think you do have to think positively, but also just put a little bit of steel up. And actually, if it doesn't work out, what I've always found with things is have a couple of days to lick your wounds, all right? And then come back.
Could I get someone else to lick them? Would that be...
It won't be me.
I'm not asking you. I'm just saying, does it work the same if someone else does the licking?
If you would like to lick Linda, do get in touch. It's Clinton at clintonbaptiste.com.
I'm going to make him taste my jam donut.
Oh, my fucking God.
No, it's a lovely thing, but just be warned about this.
Three saggy tits.
And two of them are tying up the middle one.
Well,
so.
Listen, you've got to work with what you've got.
You've got to! And we're going to see you next... Talking of working with what's been thrust upon you. Here she is, Linda. All right, until the next time, lots of love, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye now. Bye-bye. Fading now. Spirit, fading now. That's a bit dirty. Well, yes, another show, another week. The spirits attending, but now they're ascending back to the stars in their celestial cars. They're all electric up there. My thanks to lovely Linda as ever, to you, Jane Carter from the tax office, Ruth Abbott, Lewin from the Glee Club in Nottingham, David and Jimmy for their letter. And now it's time to say goodbye. I want to take this opportunity also to thank everyone who came to see Clinton Baptiste versus Ramon. 18 months' time, I'll be out with another solo show. Yes, just got to find time to write it and do all this this stuff as well. All right, lots of love to you all. More fun next week. Namaste. 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 Namaste.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, right.
Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.